Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Back here on the Martin Kitchen Show, 401-737-1287 is the phone number marked on Darryl Bang Kitchen. Kitch, so what I thought was going to happen with the Hunter Henry play, and look, this isn't why the Patriots lost the game, but what I thought was going to happen, and I need to go back into the rule book. A lot of people need to go back into the rule book, but I thought they were going to call no touchdown, but ball at the one. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I thought he had his fingers under it. Then he kind of lost it. After he went over the goal, I kind of lost it. But then regained possession, like, inside the one. So I thought they were going to get fourth and one or fourth and inches inside the one after the review. They called it incomplete. And obviously, that was the four-point play. They kicked the field goal, and they never – I don't think they ever led again. So, tough play. Did you think they got screwed, and what were your thoughts on the call?
Ultimately, I think they got screwed because I don't know how you had enough to overturn it. You know, if bing, bang, boom, right there on the field, you said no catch, I would have been like, okay, I guess, because I, like the referees, like everyone else in the world, don't really know what a catch is in the NFL anymore. They've muddied it so much and playing games of semantics with it. But the surprising thing to me was that they overturned it because I didn't think they had enough to actually overturn it. That's my biggest issue with that play. It was so quick, so fast in that moment, and it was pretty similar to the Kelce play from earlier in the season that I'm really shocked that they overturned it.
See, the only thing about that Kelce play is I'm wondering...
Kelce stretched for it.
Yeah, well, he kind of like...
I think he, quote-unquote, made the football move.
Yeah, I'm wondering if they thought that he caught it, and then he kind of had to, like, turn... his body, so it was almost like I don't know if they viewed him more of a runner there. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think they should have necessarily, but he kind of... Henry was, like, in the air the whole time. He was in the air. And then he did a good job stretching the ball out, but it looked like Kelce caught it and then sort of turned his body towards the end zone, and that's what broke the plane. That's what helped break the plane. So I don't know if they viewed him as more of a runner... air quotes in that spot
that as the football play.
Yeah,
that was the football move that, you know, whatever. My problem still is it wasn't conclusive enough to change it. Even after watching the replay, I didn't think, and I think most people agree, it wasn't really conclusive enough to change it. And that's the whole point of replay, is if it's obvious, you get the call right, you change it. If it's not that obvious, you go with what was called on the field.
Yeah,
if they just called it on the field as a no catch, I'd have been like, all right, I get it. But you called it on the field as a touchdown, as a catch, as a touchdown. And then you overturn it based on really what? Again, the problem we have is there's really no transparency from the league when it comes to situations like that. They never have the refs really out there. They have Walt Anderson with a pool reporter giving you nonsensical answers. They're never really accountable. The refs are never really publicly accountable for these type of things. Or they never really explain it, so we actually know what's going on.
Listen, as soon as I saw the ball move the way it did, I knew it wasn't going to be a touchdown. Whether or not you want to go into the deep into the rule book and dissect whatever language.
That's why I thought if you called it on the field, no, I've been like, all right, yeah, I get it. But you called it as a touchdown. I still didn't think you had enough angles or views to really, truly overchange that with anything definitive. Because we came out of it, it's still not definitive. And if it's not definitive on replay, then you got to go with what the call was on the field.
That is not what ruined this game for the Patriots, though. I was happy to see Hunter Henry get involved. Obviously, the wide receivers came to play. Stevenson still had a good game. The running, you know, and like you said, for most of the game, I thought late they got a little leaky. The offensive line had one of its better games, one of its better days. I think another, they had a good day, if I recall, in other than the Hoyer thing. I thought they did okay in Green Bay for Zappy that day. But this was one of their best days. Jones had time. Jones operated with conviction. That play didn't ruin the game. It was the defense, and it was some timely mistakes by the special teams that obviously, you know, screwed the Patriots, and they gave away momentum, and against good teams, you can't do that. Let's talk to Dan and Cranston on Mac Jones. Dan, good morning.
Morning. How you doing,
guys? How you doing?
Very well. The best part of Thursday night to come out of it was that the Zappy BS has put the rest, because that's what it was.
Correct.
I agree.
I can't take it anymore. Comp. Here's a comp, real quick. All right.
Yeah.
Very went to the same school. You put Mac Jones down in Miami right now. Just insert him there. What's the drop off from what Tua is doing? Seriously.
I mean, I don't think there is a drop off because he's probably getting better coaching and he has better weapons.
Right. So
definitely has better weapons. That's undeniable.
Yeah.
So, you know, if he's down there, Mac Jones is like, you know, the greatest draft pick in the last, you know, 25 years. You know what I'm saying? It's like, this is so much perception and reality to me. It's like the disservice of Mac Jones. And I'm not saying he's going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback, but the way the league is built now to be a, you know, pinball flag football league, you know, a lot of somewhat limited average quarterbacks, you know, you can succeed because the game is built to have weapons and just, you know, throw the ball, you know, and they make stuff happen. It's just that it's frustrating to me for reasons that I call in every week is that there will be a stubbornness just to adapt to the times to where so this kid can be maximized. That is always been my biggest frustration. And the bigger frustration of that is I don't see any change outside of a regime change. I just called the same show. I'm just wording this a different way. I mean, do you guys agree, though, that that's pretty much what we're looking at here?
I think to a certain extent, yeah, because when I look at wide receiver and quarterback combinations across the league, is it a coincidence that all of a sudden Tua's, you know, towards the top of the league when Tyreek Hill shows up? Was it a coincidence that all of a sudden Josh Allen really started to take off once Diggs showed up? Is it a coincidence that, you know, Cousins looks a little bit better when Jefferson's there? You know, and Goff looked decent at times with Cooper Kupp there, and Stafford had a great season with Cooper Kupp. Stafford's best years came with Calvin Johnson. Like, Kyler Murray got uptick once DeAndre Hopkins showed up.
There's only one quarterback in this league, one, and you know who I'm going to say, that can work around this limitation. It's Mahomes. He's the only guy. And he is literally a Hall of Fame talent, like real, real Hall of Fame
talent. Keep in mind, too, Dan, that Mahomes does have Andy Reid, who's one of the most creative, innovative offensive guys ever out there. Like, coach.
And he still has Kelsey. But I still think not having Hill there may come back to haunt them before the Super Bowl. I don't know how it's going to happen.
No, I agree with that. And you know what? Just while you brought it up, while I'm thinking of it, I know Belichick's there, but if you put Mahomes with Judge, Patricia, and the weapons that the Patriots have had, I don't know how good he is. Is he an MVP with those guys?
No, they'd find a way to see, that's the whole system. In the history of the Patriots since Belichick has been here, it's never, except for Randy Moss, it's always been spread the ball around, nobody gets the big statistics, you know what I mean? That's just the way that they operate, and that's kind of the way they operate now. It's not a superstar-driven system. It never has been.
To your point, you can go back to Deion Branch and not being able to get another contract with the Patriots and having to find his way out to Seattle.
You know, sometimes I'm thinking to myself, and I'm sure it's just perception again, like Ramondre Stevenson, right? You see, they get down the goal line, and then you see somebody like J.J. Taylor come in or something. You know what I mean? It's like they don't want him to get the touchdown. Like, they do all the work to get to the goal line, but to let someone else get it. It's just, I don't know. That's all the frustration that every week builds upon me. And for Mac Jones, I think I said it. You and I have said, well, all three of us agreed about this. I'd rather see them lose every game and see Mac Jones, you know, keep maturing in spite of what has been thrown up against him for the rest of the year. Because I don't think this team is doing anything, even if they get to the playoffs. You know what I mean? And it's just, I can go on and on and on. But
no, that's a good, no, but the frustration, though, Dan, is that, and I know he got hurt, but I think based on what he did last year as a rookie, I would have liked to have seen some of that maturation process and some of this, even in losses, this quality play happen early in the season, start the year fast. So by now, Thanksgiving, they were playing this way and winning games. You know, that's what I was hoping for.
It's just as simple as what I opened up the phone call with. You put him down in Miami in that type of environment and mindset, he's capable of doing just about the same thing. And if they don't do it here, it's just never going to work. We can do our 9-8s, 10-7s, whatever. That's all it's ever going to be to me. So, and I find that frustrating. I'm sorry, I have higher standards. Maybe I'm spoiled, but to your point, Dan. I want a new voice. I just want a new voice. I want a new regime. I got to go. I'm getting too pissed off.
No.
See you later, guys.
I understand. To Dan's point, who's the highest paid member of the Patriots? Take ownership out of the equation, obviously.
Bill Belichick.
Yeah. Yes. He's the highest paid player. I mean, highest paid person. I'm sorry. That's not right. You don't play.
Yeah.
Like, you don't, he doesn't value players enough. I mean, Matt Judon is making $11 million, and, you know, Hunter Henry and Aguilar are both around 9, and listen, I think one or two other guys are above 5, and that's it.
In defense of Bill Belichick, with the just real quick, with the Dion Branch thing from 06 or whatever, that league wasn't this league. You know what? You could always use a number one wide receiver, but the Patriots had really just won 3 Super Bowls with, you know, Troy Brown and David Givens and guys like that. They didn't need the number one wide receiver, and it wasn't that type of league yet. Now, it did end up costing them a Super Bowl. I mean, I think if you had Dion Branch that year, that next year, you beat Indianapolis, win the Super Bowl. So I think that one move cost them a Super Bowl, yes.
Yeah, that's part of it.
Especially when you're up 18 in that game as is. You know, and we saw Branch have big catches against that team in Indy before. You win the Super Bowl with him that year.
Yeah, and that's just institutional arrogance.
So let me ask you this question,
mm-hmm.
Okay? Based on what you've seen last, you know, since our last show, basically, from the Jets game and then the game on Thanksgiving, Buffalo comes in, and you can factor in Buffalo's recent play, too. Buffalo comes in on Thursday night to Gillette. Is it more likely that the Patriots play a good game and Mac Jones plays well and they're right there to win it? Or is it more likely that they get blown out, and it is not a close game, and the Patriots kind of get back put in their place?
I think it's. I actually think it's more likely that they play a decent game.
Okay.
You know, I don't think they'll have a chance to really win it, but I think they could play a decent game where at the end you look at the final score and be like, hey, they were in it, but we all know they really weren't. You know, where they could put up 24, 28 points, but they still lose by 7 or 10. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I think the offense will still perform a little bit, even though the Bills' defense is much better than the Vikings' defense. It hasn't been great this year, but overall, they're the 5th-ranked defense in the NFL, and the Vikings are the 21st-ranked defense in the NFL. There is a large gap between those two. But I think they can actually, the offense can have a pretty good game against Buffalo this coming Thursday.
I don't expect the Bills to come in here and blow out the Patriots. Not with the way they've been playing.
I don't either.
Not with the way the Patriots have been playing, and then certainly, hopefully, not with the way Mac Jones and the offense looked on Thursday night. I don't expect that. But there is a lot at stake, though, Ben. You know what I mean? There is a lot at stake because the Patriots are ferociously trying to avoid what happened last year, understandably. You know, they don't want to just start, as soon as the quarterbacks get a little tougher, a little better, start losing games left and right. Okay, so that's number one. That's at play. Then it's, can Mac Jones build off of that good performance? If he goes out and looks like he did in the Jets game again this week, then it's like, oh, it was just probably an accident. So he needs to look good again. They need to look dynamic again, especially when you're going up against a team where the last time you played them, they didn't punt. So there's pressure to look good offensively again. And then you factor in what the special teams look like against the Vikings. You better bounce back there, too. So there is a lot at stake. As we go down the stretch here.
You didn't even mention playoffs.
I didn't even mention the playoffs.
Yeah.
I didn't even mention the playoffs because, well, the way I'm viewing it, Ben, based on our conversation that we just had with Dan, I think if you're living in the real world, Bill Belichick should be coaching for his job in a way. In a way. Or maybe that's too strong, but I think Bill Belichick, if he was a regular coach, a normal head coach, not a legend.
He might be a normal head coach.
Well, yeah.
That's a dirty little secret.
I know. But I'm just saying, in a normal circumstance, this coach, based on what's been going on, would be coaching for his job right now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so, I mean, the other side of that, too, is like, hey, if you want to play this game where you're not paying anybody a substantial amount of money, you have to hit on your drafts year in and year out. If you want to play this game where it's like, hey, you know, once you hit your 4 or 5 years in the league and you're going to earn that big money, we're going to walk away from you, you have to consistently hit your drafts. So if he's going to do this style, he's been doing it wrong.
It's just, this is a game, this is a stretch of games. When you talk about everything that's happened post-Tom Brady, getting to the playoffs last year, great, getting blown out, and it looked awful. Coming into this year, and your quarterback that looked so promising last year starts regressing. Losing again to good teams and good quarterbacks down the stretch. Faltering just in general down the stretch. Like, based on where you were to where you are now, that would be a coach that would be on the hot seat. That would be coaching for his job. That's why a lot of these things are very, very meaningful. Do they win? If they don't win, how does Jones look? If they don't win, do they compete at least with some of these top-level quarterbacks, with some of these better teams? I mean, I just, this is the world, this is the real world here. What are we doing if you can't find a way, once again, to play better down the stretch? And if for some reason we conclude that the quarterback who had all this promise as a rookie has regressed?
Yeah.
You got to make something happen here, Bob. I mean, because this is what's going on. You need to find a way to not have what happened last year. That you can't keep doing this. So there is a lot on the line as we go down the stretch here. Let's talk to Matt in Warwick about this. Hey, Matt.
Hey, what's up, guys? Just a couple quick things on both sides of the ball. I think on defense, when you're missing a guy like Christian Barmore, like everything else kind of becomes a little more difficult, right? Like every position.
Sure.
He takes up so much effort on the offensive line to control him. But after I saw what I did Thursday, and especially Buffalo against Detroit pretty much did whatever they wanted to on offense. So my thing is, on Thursday night, you gotta open it up a little bit on offense based off this last performance, which you just said. The Vikings have a terrible defense. They're really not good at all. But, you know, still, I think you can kind of do what you want out there. If everyone's, you know, all the wide receivers and especially the tight ends, they're ready to go. You know, there was a 14-point swing with the, yeah, when Strong lands a punter, you just knew they were going to take that in for a touchdown, and then the Hunter Henry non-catch for a touchdown. So two big swings in that game. But, we'll see what happens. Now we're getting to the real teeth of it. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks, Matt. Listen, I just want to be clear about this, Ben. I do not think that the Patriots' defense are a bunch of frauds. I don't. I think they have a good defense. I think they can bounce back and play a good defensive game. I just think, in part, maybe I'm finding ways to make excuses for them. But I think in part what happened was that they weren't used to being in a shootout, you know, and that was a full-on shootout on Thursday night. They weren't used to playing that style of game. They got knocked around a little bit. They got knocked off their spot, the Patriots defense, and they had trouble finding their form again. And I do think they're better than they were last year. And if they get some of those guys back and they can find ways to make some big stops, I do think they'll be all right. I don't see it being a total drop-off like it was last year. So we'll find out a lot more on Thursday night. But I do think that this is a team defensively that is going to be able to get the offense into more positions down the stretch to win some of these games against good teams. I expect that to happen.
And I think it's somewhat fair. I think this defense is actually a little bit better. And I think Matt and Moore brought up, you know, a pretty good point. Christian Barmore coming back, I think, you know, against the Raiders, that will help them. And him not being there is definitely a loss for them. He is a quality player. But, you know, how good did you think Judon was in that game?
I mean, I didn't see much of him. So not as good as he's been. You know, once again,
a couple of quarterback hits.
Well, it felt like on the broadcast, they kept trying to yearn him into a playmaking situation. There's the guy with the red sleeves, but he never did anything in that game. And that's the game where you need those type of players, you know?
And hey, it may not be entirely fair, but what happened at the end of the season to Matt Judon last year?
I think it is fair. I mean, we know what happened last year. He's made point after point after point talking about how he's trying to avoid that this year. And then in the one game, it's the only game really we have, but really in the one big game or one game post-Thanksgiving, if you will, where the real football begins or whatever they say, he's not, you know, he didn't come up big. He didn't have a big game. So now it's good. And then if you don't do that, have a big game, in other words, against Buffalo, then it's like, all right, what are we doing here? Like, these are the types of games and teams you need to show up against. So we'll have to wait and see. Okay, we alluded to it. When we get back, I want to know, going forward, you mentioned the playoffs. Based on that performance, where are the Patriots now? Do we see them making a real playoff charge? Is the arrow now shifted from down to up? Or are we going to just kind of go back into the shell against Buffalo and basically end the season on Thursday night and become exposed once again? I want to know that. This is the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI.
At Cardi's Furniture and Mattresses, we're proud.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.